Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 teaches us that the devil and Satan are one and the same. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan is a deceiver. We just read that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He deceiveth the whole world. I remember when we lived on 715 Chippewa Street, we had a widow lady for a neighbor. Her name was Mrs. Peterson. She had a large police dog whose name was Pal, P-A-L, Pal. And I remember much about that dog, being a boy and playing with the dog, and her being a widow, we practically owned the dog, except she had the responsibility of sleeping and feeding it, rooming and boarding it. But we enjoyed that dog. But I remember the dog grew old and eventually he became blind. And I remember when they were putting water in the houses up on the streets there, and they dug this trench that looked more like a long grave would look in the cemetery when they're digging that today. And I don't know how far down that was, but I remember some of the kids in the neighborhood got together and they got on one side of that big hole there where the water pipe was being laid, and they called Pal, who was blind, to them. What was in his way was the grave or the trench there where the water was being laid. And he leaped to run to the kids, to the children there, and when he did, he fell right in the hole and he couldn't get out. A blind dog. And I thought, that's just like the devil, isn't it? The devil is just beckoning us to him. Come on, come on. And then there's a great big grave in the way, a great big hole, something that's going to hurt you, because the devil cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. I remember when I was in the army, I was in the military police and prisoner guard detachment in Fort Jay, Governor's Island, New York City, New York, right down in the New York Harbor on the tip of Manhattan between Brooklyn, Queens, and so on, in Manhattan. And the mail that went out from the prisoners had to be censored before it could be taken and mailed to the person that they wanted their letter to go to. Well, we had a guard that would make his rounds and became very friendly with one of the prisoners. And this prisoner was very friendly toward this guard. He didn't know it yet, but it was for a specific purpose. Finally, one day, after the prisoner had won the confidence of the guard by being so nice to him, the prisoner said, "I have a letter here, and I don't want it to be censored. Could you slip this on your person and take it out for me so it's not censored? It's a letter to my girlfriend." And so the guard looked this way and that way, and he took the letter and he put it on his person and he walked off. And when he got so far away, the prisoner started screaming, "Help! Help! Help!" And of course, everybody was alerted, everybody came. And he says, "Search that guard! Search that guard! He's taking a letter out here that's uncensored." The guard was court-martialed. Isn't that just like the devil? The Bible says he is the deceiver, and he deceiveth the whole world. He'll be so sweet, he'll be so nice to you, and he'll play the game with you, and you'll start eating at his table, and the next thing you know, you're eating poison. Satan in the Bible is called the tempter. We need to know a little about the devil tonight. Matthew 4:3 says, "And when the tempter came to him," to Jesus, "he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." There is a tempter out there. He is the devil. Number two, it appears that Satan can think. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices, number 3540, means mind, thought, a perception, purpose, the intellect. And it's from 3539, which means to exercise the mind, to comprehend, heed, consider, perceive, think, understand. It certainly does appear that Satan can think. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is number 3180, and it means lie in wait. It means trickery, trickery. So the devil pulls tricks on people. Just like the children pulled on Pal, the police dog, and just like the prisoner pulled on the prisoner guard. It also appears that the devil has memorized some scripture. Matthew 4:6, and Satan said unto Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. It also appears that Satan knows his time is limited. Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now that word knoweth, number 1492, means to see, be aware, have knowledge, understand. The devil knows, he's aware that he has but a short time. And he is furious. It appears that Satan's will is to take men captive. We need to know something about the will tonight. You know, the will isn't just something that's determined. The will is a desire. And in some places in Scripture, that's the way it's used. Listen to this. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, at Satan's desire. When a man fails God, when a man loses faith in God, Satan can take him captive at his desire, at his will. John 10:10, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his desire. That's his will. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, he was quoting from Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. So you see, the devil has a plan and a program for you tonight, and for your children, and for your grandchildren, for your neighbors, and for everybody in this world. And his plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. It also appears that Satan has feelings, or Satan has desires. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now that word desire, number 1809 from 154, means ask, beg, call for, crave, desire, require, to demand for trial. Satan desired Peter. He wanted to tear him apart. But we'll talk about the rest of that after a while. It also appears that Satan organizes and wages war. Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon, that's the devil, the dragon, the old serpent, Satan and the devil, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, that's the kind of an enemy that we're up against. We're up against an enemy that is called the tempter, one that can think, one that knows and has memorized scripture, one that knows that his time is limited, one whose will it is to take captive men, one that has feelings and desires against us, one that can organize and wage war. And there are many other things we can say about the old tempter tonight. But let's go on. Now let's take a quick look at ourselves. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We took a look at the devil. We found out that he's very, very powerful. Now we take a look at ourselves and we find out that we are very, very weak. In fact, so weak that Paul feared lest these people should be toppled over by the devil. "I fear," Paul said, "lest by any means, just like the serpent beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We are vulnerable. We are gullible. We are weak. That's what we think of ourselves. We think we're strong. We look in the mirror, we flex our muscles. We say, "Where's the devil? He's no match for me." Well, I've got news for you. You're no match for him. He could tear you apart with one swap of his claws. He could eat you up with one bite and gobble. We are vulnerable, we are gullible. That's why Paul feared. That's why Paul warns, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And he will get an advantage of us if we are ignorant. And so he warns there and he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We must not be ignorant or we will be vulnerable. We must not be ignorant or we will fall. We must not be ignorant or we will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 10:12, just in case anybody's thinking about this time. "Not me, I'm standing strong. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, take heed, take heed, lest he fall." I suppose Jim Baker thought he was pretty strong. I suppose he thought the devil was no match for him. I suppose Jimmy Swagger thought that he was pretty strong. I suppose he thought the devil was no match for him. I suppose Don Barnett thought that he was pretty strong, that the devil was no match for him. But today they're all fallen men. Amen. They went to battle with the devil and they lost. Amen. We're no match for the devil. Amen. Not when we are ignorant of truth. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The word thinketh, number 1380, means to suppose. "Wherefore, let him that supposes he standeth take heed, lest he fall." The word thinketh means to form an opinion, whether right or wrong. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." There's a look at the devil in the ring with you in the ring without Christ. You're a loser, friend. You're a loser. Why don't we go down and sit in the corner and put Jesus out there?
Amen.
Let him go into the devil and fight. That's exactly what happened. Because we were losing. We were losing. We were losing. Oh, so many things come to my mind. Like Moses and Satan's control over his dead body and so many things that follow. But let's look at Jesus. Remember, Satan is called the tempter. Jesus is called the deliverer. 6 times in the Holy Scripture it says he is the deliverer, God, Jehovah, Jesus, the deliverer. In Romans 11:26 it says, "As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer." Praise the Lord. And we know that that is Jesus. We read tonight that Satan can think. Well, Jesus also can think. Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." The thoughts that the Lord has for us are precious thoughts. The thoughts that Satan has for us are just the opposite of precious thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts," God said, "that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The devil has thoughts of evil toward you. We've already read that tonight. He has thoughts of evil toward every one of us. But the Lord says, "I don't have thoughts of evil. I have thoughts of peace toward you." Oh, I'm glad to find out tonight, if Satan can think, Jesus also can think. If Satan has thoughts regarding you and me and our future, so does the Lord have thoughts regarding you and me and our futures. Praise the Lord. We read tonight that Satan memorized scripture, and he quoted a scripture to Jesus. He said, "Jump, it won't hurt you. He'll give his angels charge over you," the Holy Scripture says, "lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus, who didn't only know scripture and memorize scripture, but was scripture personified, he was the Word of God, he was with God, he was God, he was made flesh, and there, scripture personified, was having scripture misquoted to him. Hallelujah. And so Jesus answered back, "Oh, devil, you can quote some scripture, but you don't understand scripture. It is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And if I jumped from this building, I would be tempting the Lord my God. Just like if you drove on the wrong side of the highway, you would be tempting the Lord your God. Just like if you went to the 102nd floor of the Empire State Building in downtown New York City, and jumped, you would be tempting the Lord your God. And so Jesus had the perfect answer for him. He was scripture. Oh yes, Satan memorized scripture, but Jesus is the scripture. He is the Word of God. Satan could not trip him up. And you and I need to know our Bibles, and the better we know our Bibles, the better chance we're going to have fighting against the devil with Jesus in the ring with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. We read tonight that Satan knows that his time is limited, that his time is short. But oh, when we talk about Jesus, we know that he is eternal. His time is not limited. His time is not short. In Hebrews 1:8 it says, "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Praise the Lord. Jesus is forever. We read tonight that Satan's will is to take men captive, but Jesus' will, or Jesus' desire, is to set men free. Praise the Lord. Remember, the devil put them in prison. And in Luke 4:18 says, when Jesus came preaching, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those that the devil has taken captive." Praise the Lord. Oh, what an opposite to the devil Jesus is. Amen. Satan's will, or Satan's desire, is to take men captive. Jesus' will, or Jesus' desire, is to set men free. 1 Timothy 2:4, talking of Jesus, says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, the word will, number 2309 in your Greek concordance, means desire there. Desire. Who will? God, who desires to have all men saved. You know, the word will sometimes in the scripture can also be used to mean a determination, purpose, or decree of God. And that would be unchangeable. If God said, "This is the way it's going to be," that's the way it's going to be. But when he talks about saving people, it's not the same word. That's not the word will that he's using. When he says, "Who will have all men to be saved," means that it's his desire. It's God Almighty's desire. It's the Lord Jesus' desire that all men be saved. Isn't that wonderful? But some people teach that everybody is going to be saved. The devil's even going to be saved. And I have a book, The Outcome of Infinite Grace, sent to me by a friend who has died since then. I read the book. I've underlined a few places in it, and I'll bring it over sometime. I should have had it here tonight. It would have been interesting. This man believes foolishly that all people are going to be saved because it's God's will. He didn't bother to look up the Greek word. It's God's desire. It is not God's decree. It's God's desire. There's a difference in words here. Okay. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't it good to know that God wants to save your dad? God wants to save your mother? God wants to save your children? God wants to save your relatives? That's his will. That's his desire. He wants to see them saved so you can go out and witness to them knowing that Almighty God is behind you. And when you pray, he's listening because his heart of compassion goes out to your friends and relatives and neighbors just like yours does. Well, that makes it easy to witness, doesn't it? You don't have to go to somebody wondering if God wants to save them or not. God wanted to save Nero. You can be sure God wanted to save Judas Iscariot. You can be sure God wants to save everybody. But everybody won't be saved because everybody does not receive him. Amen. Then we read tonight that Satan has desires and Satan has feelings. And Jesus also has feelings and desires. We'll go right back to the verse we read. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But the next verse says, Jesus said, with feeling and with desire, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. In other words, if you don't have faith, Peter, Satan would gobble you down. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need to read this word of God, devour this word of God, fill ourselves with this word of God if we're going to overcome. Amen. Satan has desires and feelings. Jesus has desires and feelings. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Isn't that a great feeling to know that Jesus has prayed for you? He said, neither pray I for these alone, but also on all them that shall believe on me through their word. Just think, Jesus has prayed for me. Just think, Jesus has already prayed for you. It's recorded in John chapter 17. Praise the Lord. He was praying for his disciples. And then he said, oh, I pray not for these alone. I pray for everybody that's going to believe through their word. Through their preaching, through their epistles, through their record. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus has prayed for me. Amen. Now I feel strong against the devil with Jesus on my side. But I'm no match for the devil without Jesus on my side. Praise God. We better stay on Jesus' side. Amen. Amen. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. Then we said tonight that Satan organizes and wages war. I want you to know that Jesus also organizes and wages war. We've read this before in the hearing of this church, Psalm 24, verse 7 through 10. Listen to it again. Psalm 24, 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I have my opinion of what that verse means. I believe it's messianic. I believe it's talking about Jesus. I believe it's talking about the great battle and the victory that Jesus won against the devil. I believe that it's talking about the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Okay, and then it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. The Lord. Now we found out last Sunday morning who the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is. The Lord. That's Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. It comes the answer. He is the King of glory. Selah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We've had that scripture explained from this pulpit over and over again. We know that's messianic. We know that that speaks of the battle between Jesus and the devil. The devil did wrong. The devil was a deceiver. The devil was a liar. He deceived Eve. He lied. And God declared war against him. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. I will put enmity between you and the woman. I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. That's what he was. Her seed. Her seed. The seed of the woman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John chapter 12. I said that the devil can organize and wage war. We read that in Revelation 12. And now I'm coming back and saying that Jesus, our captain, can also organize and wage war. But just before we go back to Revelation 12, let's read again John chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. Jesus is just about to be killed. He's just about to be murdered, the Bible says. Murdered. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. When he said, glorify thy name, you know who he was talking about, because Jesus is the name of the Lord. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Then he made this statement. Now, not this very minute, but now is the time when I'm going to the cross. Now is the time when the battle will be culminated. I'm going to go in with the devil for the very last round. This is it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Understand now, Jesus didn't say sometime after the rapture. He didn't say sometime during the tribulation after the rapture before the second coming, as some people teach. That's not what Jesus said here. He said right here, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven in the book of Luke. And now he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's the prince of this world. He had access to heaven. As we know from reading the book of Job, he would go before the throne of God and he would accuse the brethren before God. And Jesus said, now I'm going to the cross and I'm going successfully to the cross and I'm going to give my life on that cross. And the prince of this world is going to be cast out one of these days very soon because of my victory on the cross. Now Revelation chapter 12. Oh, I love this. I love this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. God organized and waged war, and the devil organized and waged war. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now, to me, this is when Jesus, after Jesus had died, after he was buried, after he rose from the dead, after he proved himself alive for 40 days with many infallible proofs, and then he ascended into heaven. Open up your gates, let the King of Glory in. He is the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. He was in the ring with the devil, and he gave him a knockout blow, a death blow. Praise the Lord. There was war, and now Jesus has ascended up into heaven to assume his rightful position at the right hand of God. I'm not Trinitarian, but you just have to understand the picture. Praise the Lord. War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought because Jesus had ascended into heaven. And there's the devil before the throne of God, the accuser of the brethren, accusing everybody that had loved God, had faith in God, but made a mistake. And the devil is there to accuse them before God day and night. But now something new has happened. The everlasting gates open wide, and the Son of God pierces through the skies and enters into heaven. There's the devil, and there's Jesus. Fight. Battle. Fight. Michael, go get him. Go get the devil and his angels and put him out. And the Bible says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place, P-H-E-I-R, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Do you know what that anymore means? That means they got kicked out never to return. They couldn't go back. That was it. He kicked them out. They're out of heaven. They can't return to heaven. Their place was not found in heaven anymore. Is that what it says? And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven? Can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven when the devil and his angels are kicked out? Now is come salvation. When does salvation come? After the rapture? Or on the cross of Calvary? I say it came at the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Read about the kingdom of our God. When Jesus came, what did he come preaching? Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The power of his Christ to defeat the devil on the cross of Calvary and through his resurrection. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. I said all that to say this. We better memorize Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Because there's something we have to do before Jesus comes, and that's overcome. There's something we have to do before we die, and that's overcome. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed on Calvary. And by the word of their testimony. That doesn't mean you stand up in church and say, I love the Lord, or I almost had an accident today, or the Lord healed me. That's not the word of your testimony. The word of your testimony is Jesus. 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 He is the one that shed his blood. Our faith is in his blood. That's the word of our testimony. We overcome him, the devil, because Jesus shed his blood, and our testimony is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Well, here we are on the earth. Sorry, my citizenship is in heaven. How about yours? Sorry, but we have been raised, the Bible says. We have been quickened to be seated in heavenly places with him. Is that what it says? Is that now? That's now. That's now. That's now. 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 Everybody say now.
Now.
That's now. We're seated in heavenly places with him. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe to those that are driving their stakes in the earth and building their kingdoms on this earth. Woe to the earth dwellers. Woe to the carnal minded. Woe to those who are laying up treasures on earth. Woe to those who have everything that they love down here. But rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Oh, I'm preaching you the truth tonight. You don't have to worry about being deceived. Amen. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Praise the Lord. Now we know that all of Satan's temptations are summed up under three main categories. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the three categories of temptation that Jesus suffered in the wilderness when he was tempted of the devil. That's the three categories of temptation that Adam and Eve suffered in the were tempted in the Garden of Eden. And that's what the book of John tells us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But Satan's first and major temptation was doubt. You can read it in the book of Genesis. Hath God said? Hath God said? He was planting doubt in the brain of Eve. Hath God said? And isn't that just like the devil today? Doesn't he want you to doubt that Jesus loves you? He wants you to doubt that Jesus, Jesus doesn't really love you. Look what you did. You don't read your Bible enough for him to love you. You don't pray long enough for him to love you. Jesus doesn't really love you. You might as well quit. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well give up. You're not really saved. Has the devil ever told you that? I believe he has. Oh, you don't really have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he tells everybody that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's the devil's first and major temptation, was to instill doubt in our minds. He wants you to doubt. But oh, let me tell you something. If you know and understand what I have preached tonight, that Jesus Christ shed his blood that you might overcome the devil, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and that that's your testimony, not your good works, not your super strength, but the word of your testimony is, Jesus died in my place. Jesus credited me with his pure and holy life. Jesus imputed his righteousness unto me. I'm saved, not because of what I am, not because of what I have done. I am saved because of who he is and because of what he has done for me. And by the way, I'm not saved tonight because I'm a preacher. I'm not saved tonight because I go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, or every Friday, every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. I'm not saved because I teach Bible studies or because I've memorized some scriptures tonight. No, I'm saved because Jesus shed his blood on my behalf. Praise the Lord. And I've got to know that good. I've got to know that well. I've got to be able to go to the face of the devil, look him square in the eye, and say, Jesus died for me. Jesus loved me. Jesus saved me. There's nothing the devil can do about it. Praise the Lord. If I've got some knowledge, some understanding, praise God. Jesus' blood won our victory. And the word of our testimony is the confession of our faith in that blood and in the risen Christ, who has ascended into heaven and is now on the throne, where Satan cannot accuse his people anymore. I've talked about this before. I'm talking about it tonight, and you're going to hear more about it in the future. Revelation 12. We've got to understand that chapter. Amen. Now the Bible says, resist the devil. And if we resist the devil with that weapon, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, if we resist the devil with that weapon, he won't stay and fight. He'll run for all he's worth. He will flee. You know what that means, flee? That means run. That means hightailing it out of there. That's what flee means. You resist the devil. Don't you go up and say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. The devil might say, Peter I know, and Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Scratch, you got good. You know? Amen. We don't come that way. We come through the blood. In the name of Jesus, absolutely, don't misunderstand me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus with that knowledge and understanding, not just carelessly, vainly using the name of Jesus as an escape, but we say in the name of Jesus, and what we're really saying in our hearts is, in the name of Jesus who shed his blood on Calvary's cross and defeated you and crushed your head. Amen. That's what we're saying when we're saying in the name of Jesus. By the authority of Jesus, praise the Lord. Amen. He'll flee from you. We have the promise of Scripture. Amen. In the February-March newsletter, Brother Bennett wrote down some quotations from some of our young people. Excuse me, young people, but one of them I underlined in red. One of them I wrote in my Bible. One of them I'm going to read to you tonight. Julie Worth said. This is profound. This is one everybody ought to write down. This is a tremendous statement. I love terse, concise, brief statements like this. Julie Worth said, "The scriptures we have in our hearts will reveal to us the lies of the world." You ought to write that down. The world is lying to us and we know it. The devil is a liar and his followers are liars. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He's a murderer, he's a liar. And Jesus suggested there that everybody that follows him will be a liar. Julie Worth said, "The scriptures we have in our hearts." See how important it is to have scripture in our heart? Doesn't Psalm 119:11 say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee"? The scriptures we have in our hearts will reveal to us the lies of the world. When the world says something, sift what it says through the scriptures. And the scriptures that you have in your heart will determine whether what they said is truth or lie. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. John 16:33. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. You are much stronger than the world." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Be of good cheer. I, Jesus, and I alone have overcome the world. Look to me. Put your faith and trust in me. Live, walk in Jesus' name." Well, I better teach us who to trust in, because more tribulation is coming. The devil is furious. And if he's furious at anybody, it's not at those he already has captive. It's those that he wants captive. 1 John 5:4, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith in what? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've got to have God's word in our hearts. We've got to have faith in that word. We'll know the devil's lying to us. We'll know the world is lying to us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Between us and victory is the world. That's what that verse says, 1 John 5:4. Between us and the victory is the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We better have faith in the blood of Christ. We better have faith in the provision made for us on the cross of Calvary. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Praise the Lord. I want to turn now for a minute, in closing, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus, about to leave the world, says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Without Jesus, we have every reason to be afraid. But with Jesus, no need to fear. "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." And I'll add this, "in your sad. If you love me, you'd rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father's greater than I." Now we've talked about that in our oneness class. "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." And he says, "Henceforth, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world," now that's the dragon, that's the old serpent, that's Satan, that's the devil. He's the prince of this world. He has many titles. "For the prince of this world cometh." It was his hour. It was the power of darkness. "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Do you know what that means, "and hath nothing in me"? He's got nothing on me. That's what it means. He can't accuse me. He can't put a finger on a mistake, on a fault, on a flaw, on a blemish in my life. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Holy One of God. I am perfect. I have never made a mistake. Don't fear. That's the man. That's the man. who was crucified on Calvary. That's the man who took our place. You see why he can take our place? Who else could take our place? He was flawless, faultless, perfect, holy. Praise the Lord. He took our place. He died, but the grave couldn't hold him. Do you know why the grave couldn't hold him? You got to know this. Because death is the penalty for sin. He had never sinned. He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I can't die. I'm the resurrection and the life. But I've received authority or commandment from my Father to die. I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again." So the Bible says the grave could not hold him because he had never sinned. He had to come forth from the grave, but the grave could retain every one of us. But because he lives, we shall live also. Because he was sinless, and because he on Calvary's cross took our sins far, far away, when the angel blows the trumpet, we're going to come forth from the grave. You know why we're going to come forth? Because he took our sins away, and sin is death is the penalty for sin, and if our sins are gone, the grave can't hold us either. Praise the Lord. So he came forth. He ascended into heaven. The battle was on. Again, the Lord and his host won. He cannot accuse us before Jesus. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's why the Bible says now in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now. It wasn't always this way, but there is therefore now. Because Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Satan can't accuse you anymore. You know what happens now? The Holy Ghost convicts you. And you go to the altar and repent, and you're sorry for your weaknesses, your sins, your faults and failures. But you get up with a victory. Praise the Lord. You see, Satan had a valid case against us. He can go to the throne of God and say, he's a sinner, and he's right. What can God do about it? Nothing. God couldn't do a thing about it. Because the devil was right. He had grounds for his accusation. He said we sinned, we did sin. He said we ought to die, he was right, we ought to die. But he can't accuse us anymore. Because another man came, the last Adam, the second man. The devil tested him and tried him. He didn't fall like the first Adam. He didn't fall like the first man. He overcame. He was victorious. Praise the Lord. And now, he gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us power. He gave us life. He gave us power to overcome and to win this battle. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Praise the Lord. So there's therefore now no condemnation. Now the devil can't accuse us and say, they've sinned. And Jesus say, yeah, you're right, devil, nothing I can do about it. Oh no, if the devil ever could say that to Jesus, Jesus would say, you're wrong, devil. But they don't even talk about that anymore. The devil has no access there to talk about it anymore. But anyway, he'd say, you're wrong, devil. I died for their sins. Check me over. You have nothing in me. You have nothing on me. And they are in me. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. We're in him. So the accusation now has to go against Jesus. And that accusation is invalid. That accusation can't stand. Wonderful?
Amen.
Makes me want to shout hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Romans 8 starts that way. There's therefore now no condemnation. Listen to how he winds down that chapter. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see, the devil used to appear before the throne of God and accuse the brethren. Now it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Why, the devil used to go before the throne of God in heaven and condemn the brethren, accuse the brethren. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Open wide, you everlasting gates. Let the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty of battle, come in. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. No, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If some of these things are too deep for some of you, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Just go ahead and resist the devil in Jesus' name with the understanding that Jesus imputed his righteousness to you and that Jesus shed his blood for you. If it's a little deep and hard to understand, learn what 1 Peter 5:9 says. It says, resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Just like Brother Bennett said, take your sword out and slice him up a little bit. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We have to overcome, saints. I read this before. Let me go over it again. Oh, the need of eliminating every unholy principle with which the devil can play and fondle. It is like the young tiger that was captured when but a cub. The captor romped with it like a dog. But finally the plaything became full grown. And on a certain occasion, while scuffling, the master's hand was scratched. As soon as the animal scented and licked the human blood, he became wild and vicious, leaped upon his master and tore him to pieces. Thus it is with the treacherous carnal nature. The only thing to do is to have it destroyed. That's why God gave us the Holy Ghost. If you, through the Spirit, do destroy, do kill, that's what the word mortify means. Put to death, it means. Look it up. To put to death. Mortify, to put to death. If we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. We're talking about that old human, totally depraved nature of ours. The only thing to do is have it destroyed. Do not run the risk by letting the thing remain and grow on your hands. Little habits become big habits, hard to break. Though we will never be exempt from temptation, the effect of overcoming temptations is to our advantage. Did you hear that? The effect of overcoming temptations is to our advantage. It's kind of like trials. It's kind of like the theory of weightlifting. You start out with, if you're a full-grown man, probably 100 pounds, and you push it over your head 10 times. You do it again 10 times. You do it again 10 times. Three sets of 10 repetitions each, okay? Then after a while, you get so strong that becomes so easy, you go to 125 pounds, 150 pounds, 200 pounds. Pretty soon you got 200 pounds up there. But you can get it 10 times over your head. That's a pretty good man, by the way. And then the second set, you get about 3 times. And the third set, you might not even get it up. But you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you get stronger and stronger. That's what this statement means when it says, the effect of overcoming temptations is to our advantage. The more you lift, the stronger you get. The more temptations you overcome, the stronger you become spiritually. Listen now. It is a little as when a hunter goes out to kill game. Suppose that every time he killed a deer, the swiftness of the deer went into his body. You know, you kill one deer and you're as fast as a deer. You kill two deers and you're twice as fast as one deer. You kill three deers and into your body comes three times the speed of a deer. You kill a million deers. Deer, you are pretty fast, huh? When he killed a fox, The craftiness of the fox was transferred to the hunter. He killed two fox, he became twice as smart as a fox. Three fox, he became twice as smart as one fox. Three times as smart. When he brought down an eagle, okay? We got the deer, we got the fox, now we bring down an eagle. The power to rise above everything became his. He kills two eagles, he can rise higher yet. When he killed a lion, the strength of the king of the beasts was also his. And so on, ad infinitum. One can readily see that if the hunter kept on killing, he would finally become well nigh omnipotent. Nothing could overtake him. And if it should, he would have power to tear it asunder. This may not become a reality with a hunter, but it is the case with an overcomer. Now think about that. It is the case with an overcomer. Now that's kind of a wild story about the hunter, but it's a fact. It is the case with the overcomer, with the Christian. Those are the facts. Too many people give up and give in to temptation too soon. If they would have held out a little longer, they would have been a little stronger. And they could have overcome, or they will. So keep fighting, saints. Keep fighting. Keep overcoming. Okay. One can readily see that if a hunter kept on killing, he'd finally become well-nigh omnipotent. Nothing could overtake him. And if it should, he would have power to tear it asunder. This may not become a reality with a hunter, but it is the case with an overcomer. Every time he overcomes a temptation, the strength of that trial enables him to more easily overcome in the future. David killed first a bear, then a lion, then Goliath. And according to this, we ought to be overcoming greater obstacles all the time. Sister Wiseman, could you come and sing? I want to read a poem in closing here on this sheet. Oh, how I hate these lusts of mine that crucified my God, those sins that pierced and nailed his flesh fast to the fatal wood. Yes, my Redeemer, they shall die, my heart hath so decreed. Nor will I spare these guilty things that made my Savior bleed. While with a melting, broken heart my dying Lord I view, I'll raise revenge against my sins and slay the murderers too. Isn't that good? God bless you.